Yep, what she said is true. Babu, babu, babu. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Yesterday, as I was leaving here, as soon as I went outside, it hit me that exactly 48 hours prior, it was snowing like a snow globe. And then yesterday felt like the first day of summer. It was perfect in every way. And you go, how can that be in just 48 hours? How can things change that dramatically? But they did.
Mother Nature is not happy with us.
No. And because why? What did we do to Mother Nature?
Well, in the 80s, it was because I used hairspray.
Oh, that's what it is. Your Alberto VO5 has screwed up everything for us.
It was actually Aquanet.
Oh, were you using the Aquanet?
Yeah. And then they stopped, you know, you didn't use aerosol stuff. And then all of a sudden aerosol stuff came back because I'm back to aerosol.
I think it's a...
There are no fluorocarbons now?
I don't know enough about aerosol to say this without any doubt. But the mechanism by which aerosol is dispensed is different now. Now it's like a spritzy thing. You know what I mean? Like, it used to be when you took Alberto VO5 and you sprayed it, you got a very thick mist of stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's that...
No, that is the pump, goof.
Is that not aerosol? Is that different?
No, one is a pump and one is an aerosol. If you have to shake it like... not like a Polaroid picture, but you have to shake it like a can of spray paint and then spray. That's what I'm using again now. Aerosol is a type of dispensing system which creates an aerosol mist of liquid particles.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and make the noise. That's the pump. Finalnet came out with a pump, and in the 80s when we were all afraid of the hole.
The ozone?
Yes. There was a hole in the ozone layer because of fluorocarbons.
Yeah.
And every, like,
the ozone, by the way, the name of the nightclub I invested in and lost my shirt.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. I thought people wanted a fluorocarbon-based nightclub, and as it turned out, I was so wrong. Lost over $100, Wendy. You were saying?
All consumer and most other aerosol products made or sold in the U.S. now use propellants such as hydrocarbons and compressed gases like nitrous oxide.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I get so happy when I put my hairspray on.
It's nitrous. Don't look at me. Don't you look at me.
They do not deplete the ozone layer. Okay, there's our question. Because aerosol spray cans produced in other countries might still use those fluorocarbons that we were not supposed to use in the 80s. And then the pump came that you make the sound for. Yes. And then it goes back to, because now I use aerosol, but they don't have the fluorocarbons.
Oh, they don't.
So I'm not wrecking the ozone.
No, you're doing fine. If anything, I think you're saving our
universe
somehow.
But that's what I'm just saying. Mother Nature's mad at us.
Hold the grudge.
You know, yesterday it got, I think the car thermometer or whatever it's called. I guess thermometer.
Yeah.
It seemed weird to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Was at 73 or 74.
That's pretty good.
And then it got pretty chilly last night. We had to close the windows.
Right.
And now it's going to be up into the 70s again. What's the temp now?
And then Sunday, I know there's a chance of rain, but they're saying mid-70s on Sunday for Easter. That's perfect.
That is 100% perfect, and I hope we have a spring, because typically we go from winter to summer, and your body needs to acclimate, don't you think?
Yes.
There are sometimes...
A little buffer period.
Yeah, just, you know, to say, hey, gonna switch gears.
Yeah.
Gonna gradually get there, because, you know, we will all be complaining when it's 102 degrees and the humidity's up there. We'll be complaining, and we'll be... In the air conditioning all the time.
You're right.
But just let us go gradually.
You want it more gradual. I can see that.
Because then you get used to it, you know?
When I left here yesterday, the route by which I take, when I leave this building, I have to cross this bridge that's right outside our window, and then I park a couple of blocks away. And the bridge was down, but there were barricades not letting cars or people walk across the bridge. And there was a small crowd of people waiting for that to not be the case so they could cross over to the other side of the bridge to go northern. And I'm there, and I say to one of the guys, how long is this going to be? So all the people in the group that I'm in are pedestrians.
All right.
But there's a guy who works for the city who's wearing a yellow vest who's also standing there just, I would say, a foot away, but he can hear us. So I say to the guy who's obviously been there, I go, how long is this going to be? He goes, I don't know. I'm giving it three more minutes, and then I'm just going over to the next bridge, which is about three or four blocks away. So one by one, everybody gives up but that guy and me, and I go, are we at the three-minute mark yet? He goes, yeah. I go, I'm going to stick it out. He goes, all right, feel free. And he leaves. So now I'm just by myself. And every once in a while, other people would wait.
Everybody left you?
People would come by. They'd give it a minute or two, and they're like, eh. And then they would just leave.
Did you have some place to be?
Well, I had some place to be, but the only place for me to be there would be to get my car, which was on the other side of the bridge, you know? So I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and I say to the guy, are we talking minutes or hours? He goes, oh, it's going to be at least 2:30, which is over an hour later. It's an hour and 5 minutes later. I go, how come you didn't mention that? He goes, just waiting to see how long you guys would hang out.
He did not say that.
I swear to you. Just wanted to see how long. I go, oh. Because I said, because if the rules were reversed, I would have said to you, it's going to be 2:30 like you just did.
I can't even believe
that. Just standing there. He loved it. I mean, I guess.
He has nothing else to do.
What is they told him he had to stay there, so get some satisfaction, get some fun out of it.
At someone else's expense?
Right. Right. In this case, mine.
You know me. I would have turned all tour guide. I would have been like, okay, it's going to be a couple of hours until we get this thing open. We have a nice river walk down there if you'd like to go grab a cold bevy.
Right.
Or, you know, perhaps take the architecture tour.
Well, what's going on now is that beautiful river walk that I'm such a fan of, the portion of it that we're at is all closed. They're reconstructing it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all being changed.
Under construction.
They're putting up paths and stuff. And I'm sure when it's done, it's going to be great. But you can't go down to that level and move. You're stopped there. So I was just stuck. And you can't even go down Lower Wacker. There's no room for foot traffic over here. Did you know that? There's nowhere to walk, because like once you cross the street here, it's all street, and you know cars going very, very fast. There's no room to maneuver there if you're walking. So
I didn't know that. I thought there was a sidewalk.
So to get to my car, which usually takes 8 or 9 minutes,
yeah. Which way'd you go?
35 minutes, but mostly because I just waited for a while, thinking the bridge is going to go up eventually. They just said it's routine maintenance.
Yeah, but
why not share that with the citizens of Chicago, right? And there was not a sign on it earlier in the day saying this bridge will be closed from this amount of time to this amount of time. There was no warning.
Yeah, I mean, put a sign up that says bridge closed till 2:30, and then if you get it open early,
you look great.
We got our
tests done early.
I can't believe that guy did not tell.
Oh, he thought it was great. He loved it.
That was not lovable. That's not.
But I have to admit, because I had time to think about it as I rerouted my traffic to get to my car, because I was mad at him for a little while, and then I go, you know, I think if I was him, I'd probably do the same
thing. No, you would not. You would not.
I would do a version of it.
No, you wouldn't.
Because this is a guy, obviously, not thrilled with his lot in life. You know, because they said to him, Larry, here's what you're going to do all day. You're just going to stand on the bridge. Should I tell people the bridge is going to be closed till 2:30? That's up to you.
Yeah, but when you work construction, if you're like a lookout person, and I know that's not the technical term, but 3-1.
Yes, because his job was to look out for us to make sure, because there were a few times it's like, this is ridiculous. The bridge is right there. It's just a silly barricade. I'm just going to walk across. But it would have been his job.
Right.
To say to me, sir, you can't, what you're doing now is highly illegal and dangerous.
But I'm saying, and someone could correct me, 312-235-2525, but he's part of the team, so he's getting the same amount of money.
Sure.
And I don't know if they rotate, because sometimes you see some people just holding like the stop sign, and then they flip it around and it's slow.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of working with each other. And I got to be honest with you, a lot of times they give that job to the woman. And I don't know if the woman is the one who volunteers for it or if they just say, hey, honey, why don't you go do that?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm just curious.
It's sexually profiling if they give that job to the woman.
Right.
But more times than not, when you see that crew, it is the woman who's holding that sign. And you're right.
So I have the answer to
that.
I went to a ComEd graduation program on Monday.
Yes.
So you have different certifications in the construction field. So what you would call the lady who's holding the sign, she's called a flagger.
A flagger?
You have to get, a flagger. So she's basically flagging people down.
So she's been trained for that
particular thing.
How much training is involved in being a flagger?
Can I just tell you, a huge responsibility is put on that flagger?
Yes.
Huge.
You cannot, like, turn around, like... say if you're directing traffic, they, you notice how they're always walking backwards?
Yeah.
It's because they have to watch every single thing that goes around. And if they turn their back and something happens, that's it.
It's on them.
Right.
And a lot of times it's like, say there's a bridge out and there's one lane. One flagger at one end has the stop sign. The other one is motioning people to go, and then they have to stop. It's a lot of responsibility. So yeah. Cars are not.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Like, it's not like an easy job. So
someone who's a flagger, are they a flagger for a good long period of time, or is that just an entry level position that they go, you'll start out as a flagger, but we'll move you to the pit crew soon?
Yeah, so you have to take different tests and entries and stuff like that to become part of the construction crew.
I didn't know that. Why is it so often a woman? Do we know?
I'm not sure, but there is not like a stigma on it. Like,
no?
You have to be a woman to do it.
All right. All right.
And then there's the jackhammerer.
Yeah, that guy.
I wouldn't want to do that, man. Your whole body vibrates.
There's also the guy who comes and tells the other guy something and makes that guy nod. Did you ever see that? You get a lot of, because it's loud, so I can't hear what's going on, but you hear that, you hear a lot of that rumbly, and then you'll see a guy come over and yell something at a guy. He'll point at something, and he'll yell something, and then that guy just nods. I see that a lot. And I always go, I wonder if that's always the same conversation, because I've seen that take place 1,000 times. I wonder if they schedule that. They go, hey, Mark, don't forget at 4:10, come by and tell me something, and then what will you do? Well, I'll nod. It's just what they do.
I'm going to take you back to when your girls were little, because, I mean, this was really kind of the highlight of my day. I was off, like, for 6 months from work when Michael was born.
Yeah.
And then you would go and take him for a walk in the stroller or something, and then we lived by a railroad track. So if you'd see a train, you'd stop and you'd get, you know, you'd bend down and crouch down and point and go, look at that. And then a lot of times the engineer would wave.
Oh.
And you don't know how many times I would come upon like construction sites and big dump trucks and
yes.
stuff. Didn't you stop and point them out? Because those were like really beautiful moments that I'm thinking back of when my kids were little. It's like, look at the dump truck, and you weren't in a hurry to get anywhere. That was what you were doing, and that was like the high. They're just staring at it with these giant eyes.
Just the marvel of seeing something that you're not accustomed to, the kids, they don't see that every day, that construction site thing. So.
No, you're not impressed with that?
The one that stands out is in the apartment we lived in when the girls were first born. There was a problem with trees in the area having one of those rotting diseases. You know, where they have to
Elm disease.
Yeah, but there's another
Beetle
name.
Bailey.
It's not. Is it Beetle Bailey?
No, it was the longhorn beetle, because that's what mine had. Box elder.
It's one of those. So they had to extract several trees. So all of a sudden, this tree that was in our front yard of our apartment, one morning we woke up and there were two trees and guys, you know, cutting it down. And the girls were just fat. They were sad, of course, and I was too. You hate to lose a tree, you know, that had been there for years and years. But they were just so mesmerized by the whole process.
That's cool to watch.
Of guys in a cherry picker up at the top cutting down.
I don't know how to make the
chainsaw. That was accurate.
No.
How would Owen Wilson sound if he was cutting down a tree?
I don't do sound effects.
Oh, you don't do sound effects, Owen. I'm sorry. I thought you did sound effects.
Wow.
That's fine. I'm sorry. But they just couldn't take their eyes off of the fact that there were guys up that high. And I got to be honest.
It's pretty cool.
It was very exciting.
How old were they?
2 or 3.
Yeah, because I can't believe you never, I don't know if maybe there wasn't a construction site, but I just remember walking the kids around in the stroller, getting some fresh air, and like they were laying new cement or something, so you'd see a cement truck.
Yeah.
That wasn't, I could watch it to this day. If I could pull over and watch a cement truck or jackhammer, it's just cool.
Friends of mine, they have two sons and a daughter, and the two sons, like your boys, like anything involving a large truck, that holds their attention forever. If it was just a large truck just going in a straight line all day long, they would watch that all day long. The girl, on the other hand,
didn't care. I have the two boys.
Big truck. What are you going to do with
it? But I will tell you, the tree, we had the longhorn beetle. What was that? The Japanese? I don't remember what it was called.
The one that was eating through all the trees?
Yeah, we had an ash. Oh, we had emerald ash borer.
Oh.
That's what we had. Yeah. And we had an ash tree in the front yard, which the village took care of because it was on the parkway.
Wasn't your slogan at the time, ash tree in the front yard, ash tray in the backyard? Isn't that what your bumper sticker said for a while?
Yes.
I remember that.
And the ash tree in the backyard, we had to pay for because it was on our property. And it was behemoth. It was so old.
Oh, yeah.
And watch, prior to getting it cut down, though, I will say we had this tree guy who came to just kind of trim it and make the shoots grow properly, and he tried to save it. And this dude was not thin. He was a big man, probably 6'2", 300 pounds. He would clip little, like, I don't know what they're called, but rope and stuff. He'd clip that on. He'd get up to the top of the tree, and he had a chainsaw with him that was also strapped to him. It was almost like this guy was juggling a chainsaw.
Wow.
And he'd take off a branch, he'd walk out on this other branch, cut it almost through, then step away.
How
and
did
just
he
kind
get, of he climbed the tree.
Yes,
he did.
He used those ropes to help kind of hoist him up there,
like like a logger's rope, where it's like a belt with a rope attached, and he just moves up the tree with it like that.
No, like I don't remember. He had pulleys, and it was kind of helping him get up there a little bit. But he was this big man that was just amazing watching him trim the trees. We had a silver maple tree that we still have that's ginormous, and this guy was just up there. Like I said, he'd cut through a branch almost like three quarters of the way, and then he'd step back and just with his foot he'd like just kind of knock it so it would fall. He had it down to a science. And then when we lost that ash tree a couple years ago, just watching them try and get this giant tree down.
Yeah.
So I kind of got into watching the trees too.
Think
that's
he would
pretty
have been
cool.
More comfortable living amongst the trees.
Yes, but he retired. He could
no longer.
I called to have him cut the tree down, and he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I've been up in trees long enough. I had to stop doing it.
Oh,
he must have fallen
that's
or something."
Sad. Do you think so?
Maybe. He just got too old where, you know, you'd get dizzy.
Right. I could see that.
But I could see where watching trees and come down would be an exciting
sure.
thing. Sure. Trees
the day
and
watching
dump
that.
Trucks.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's a show on CLTV, Wendy, that I watch when I get home from work every day. It's my favorite show. All right. We'll take a break. Kim Gordon will be by. She'll give you the news and then more show.
No idea what that is.
Oh. It's just some pleasant music to enjoy.
It makes me...
It
lulls me to sleep, I gotta be honest.
No.
It lulls you to sleep?
I it's so soothing.
I call it radio waterboarding. I think it's just absolute torture.
But our listeners hearing what we're hearing during the break,
they hear commercials.
They're not, guys.
Oh, they're not?
We were told they're hearing commercials.
That's what we were told too, but I was on the app. Yes, I'll do it again today because I was on the app while we were playing that, and I think that's what I heard.
Well, maybe somebody streaming could text in and tell us what they're hearing.
Because what we're hearing is, how would you best describe that music? I mean, you described
it. I could sing it.
I've just been told by the engineers, I think it was Bill Murdoch, that there are commercials now on the stream.
Okay.
Because that's what it was supposed to be.
Yes.
And so we're just hearing this. So.
Oh, okay. So nobody. Okay.
I like it. It's soothing to me.
You do?
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
When you hear it, you know, for 3 hours, though, it's a lot. Through a whole game.
For three hours, think about that.
It's kind of soothing, but see, then it takes the oomph out of me.
Oh, it does.
So I need to re-oomph.
You have to re-oomph. All right. We'll do some news. Wendy will re-oomph, and then we'll see what happens after that. Anything can happen. Kim, can we quickly go back to story number two from the newscast?
Yes.
This woman, Sal Pace, who is a Florida resident who went to Colorado. The stories we were hearing this morning is she had this weird preoccupation with what went on at Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
And then was her goal was to somehow reenact a version of it?
Well,
is that what we're assuming?
I don't exactly know what her goal was, but she, you know, went to the Denver area, bought some weapons and ammunition, and
she threatened
and made
violence.
Some threats. And so as a precaution, they yesterday put the schools on lockdown. Today they closed them as a precaution.
All Colorado schools or most Colorado schools?
It's over
schools.
A dozen Denver. In the Denver area.
In the Denver area, yeah. The threats
that
were made.
It was like actually 20-something schools.
How did she go about making these threats? Do we know?
I don't know. I know that the FBI had been watching her.
Yeah, and she's a young woman, right? She's 18.
She's 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have the latest according to ABC 7.
So they were saying earlier there were several reports that she was dead, but it has not been confirmed when I walked in here by the FBI.
CNN is reporting her death.
Right. A lot of places are, but we haven't had confirmation from the FBI.
Multiple sources, right, Kim. She was, she had been threatening violence in the Denver area. She was allegedly found dead Wednesday near the base of Mount Evans. FBI agents had been searching for Sol Pace, 18 years old. She was accused of threatening violence in the Denver area ahead of the 20th anniversary of Columbine. The FBI tweeted earlier Wednesday she is, quote, no longer a threat to the community. No immediate explanation. So it appears that very soon they're going to confirm this.
Yeah, we're just waiting for that.
It has been reported that she took her own life.
Hmm.
There was an all-out manhunt for Pace. Agents had focused the search around the base of Mount Evans, a popular recreational area about 60 miles southwest of Denver. During the manhunt, the FBI said Pace was, quote, infatuated with Columbine. We talked to Steve Cochran about this earlier.
It's a strange word.
It is. Obsessed, yes. Infatuated was
infatuated
crazy.
Almost implies that there's some sort of admiration, you know?
Right.
Well, she had threatened violence ahead of Saturday's anniversary of the attack that killed 13 people. The FBI described her as extremely dangerous, and it was.
Do we know anything about her history, Wendy? Does it talk about it? No,
not a lot. No. Mm.
I'm sure the next few days will be filled with that information. It's just so curious that somebody would hold an event like that.
Well, and it's curious that she's 18 years old and obsessed with Columbine, you know, because there's been so many shootings, and somebody of that age you would think would...
Right.
She wasn't even alive when it happened.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, that she's so young. So, and there have been so many school shootings.
Yeah. So what happens now is normally, one of the first things they do in a case like this is they piece together all of her social media activity to find out who she's linked to, you know, and try to figure out motives, obviously. But every part of it, to be that young, to be that infatuated with something that took place prior to your birth, why?
And the thing about these school shootings, the kids that they most of them end up being just lone wolves, you know?
Yeah.
And for some reason,
which is better. You don't want them to have any kind of affiliation to a terrorist
group.
But
one can do a lot of horrific things.
Yeah. I find it fortunate, I guess, a strange word, but fortunate that she was making these threats, because had she not said anything to anyone and just went about her business, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Obviously, she was reaching out and disturbed.
Yeah, of course. So even though this is certainly not a happy ending, I mean, I don't know how this ends happily, but it ended without anybody except her getting hurt or killed.
Well, and it's just so horrible for the people of Denver and
sure,
people
live through
who
it again.
Live through it again. And just
that's a good point.
Go through the threat of even the possibility of this happening again.
Yes, yes, yes. Very true.
You know, because not only had they suffered through Columbine, they had the movie shooting.
Yeah.
Was that in Littleton, Colorado with the Batman movie? I mean, so Colorado has seen
their share
of horrific shootings.
Yep.
All right, this just in from the engineering department. If you are, just for clarification,
poor Bill
here,
Murdoch, we aren't trying to bash
him. And Bill's awesome.
Although I have to
talk to him about the camera was zoomed into my giant head, and I can't have that. After Cochran gets off the air at 9 o'clock, he's on CLTV from 9 to 10.
Yes.
Then we take over, and typically the zoom out happens.
Yeah.
But
they're not covering us.
Right. And they're, and I just, for people who are looking at it online, I might have been picking my nose earlier today.
Several people, Wendy, have told me that they'll watch us on the Jumbotron at Guaranteed Rate Field. While we're on, and that's exciting.
No, I got into radio to hide behind
the
microphone.
Yeah.
Me too, and I hate the fact that I'm on CLTV and I can't
But you have no choice because Rose Show is also on.
No, I know, and I just, it just makes me like.
Do you change the way you dress at all? Because you always dress well, Kim. But have there been outfits that you go, I can't wear this. I'm on CLTV today. I can't wear what I was going to wear.
No,
have you changed? You haven't.
No,
it's business as usual for you.
Business as usual. Although, whenever I look at myself in the, on the video, I'm like, oh my God, my hair looks terrible.
Really? Yeah. Oh.
You can't really see much of my clothes.
Huh.
I don't like it. And I used coconut oil on my hair today, and I think I put too much in one spot. So you know how typically if your hair is greasy, it's greasy on the top? Mine's greasy on the bottom. So I just really am
I thought it looked lighter today, actually.
Well, I got it highlighted, but it's greasy just on this one bottom side.
Yeah.
I'm not here for TV. I'm here for radio.
No, it's right.
But if you're watching on the live stream online, you will hear the WGN music that we played.
Bum, bum, bum.
But now
bum,
I'm...
Bum, bum.
You can bum, watch bum, us bum. While we're streaming, even though the Wouldn't Trust Business Lunch is on?
I think so.
Because
yeah,
usually the
sure.
cameras go to Bertrand, which I'm relieved about.
Well, but maybe
Steve insists
because
on that.
Because maybe today you can see us because there's the White Sox game.
Oh,
so
is that
the
true?
Videos flipped to this thing.
Right. Maybe.
Yeah.
But if you're listening on the app, you'll hear promos and commercials and things like that. But if you're watching online, watching the stream, and don't watch it.
Wendy, I'm getting texts from people who say, I wish there were more commercials. So we're doing our best. We'll see if we can load up more commercials for you in the future. Today is going to be tough. We've already struck more promos and commercials. They're all saying the same thing.
630, I've seen things I cannot unsee. They will be in my nightmares forever, Wendy. I didn't know I had my big head going there today.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep. Yep. Be very careful.
We didn't
you know,
sign up
sometimes
for this.
We're on... In the lobby downstairs.
Yeah, on a giant
That's
TV.
That's huge, that TV.
Gigantic.
Listen, that is not in my contract.
Are you asking for extra
you
money
may
for that?
Add
no, I'm asking for them to comp my
Cease
Botox or something if I'm going to be that
well,
big.
Well, that could be tax deductible maybe then.
Yes.
Oh,
I bet
geez.
It is. Tim, good point. It would definitely be tax deductible. All right, here's something that I wanted to mention earlier, but here it is now. There's a story on Daily Mail about a woman who put together a Build-A-Bear birthday party for her daughter. You're aware of what this
yes,
is, right,
been
Kim?
Been to Build-A-Bear.
They have Build-A-Bears in most shopping centers now, and the premise is always the same. You go in, and for an incredibly low fee... You're able to construct a bear to your specifications.
You can make
you
it as stuffed
everything.
As you want, as soft as you want.
Thick or thin...
Pick
tall
out clothes,
or short.
Outfits.
There's
yeah.
clothes. You can change the eye. You can do real googly eyes. You can do small beady eyes if you want a bear
I
with small
I bet you do
beady.
Googly.
I do googly eyes, Wendy. All my Build-A-Bears have googly eyes. You can put a rain poncho on them if you see fit. You can dress them like a court jester. There's 1,001 different variations.
We have one in a sailor suit.
Oh, see, that's what a teddy bear would enjoy, getting out on the high seas.
And so, there, I think we built a Dylan built a dinosaur too. There was it's not just a bear.
Oh really?
I think they had
they branched out.
I think at the Disney something Disney that he had a dinosaur at a Build-A-Bear.
Maybe it was the one that's like Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes.
From Toy Story.
Because no, it looked a little different, but it was a T-Rex.
There's a Build-A-Bear in downtown Disney at Disneyland.
That's where.
Where you could do different Disney characters. Like, you could create your own, not just teddy bears, but Disney characters.
Oh,
so
like a Mickey or a Minnie or
yeah, you could
like
give your, you could give your character Mickey's ears, Donald Ducks, Bill. You know, you could, your own amalgam of Disney characters. This story tells, it's being told from Daily Mail, is about a woman who invited eight kids to her daughter's birthday party. They all had the pleasure of building bears to their specs, like I said. And then at the end of the party, she demanded that each of the kids give their bears to her daughter who was celebrating.
What?
The yeah.
I guess you can only laugh about it because the nerve of some people.
Are you kidding me?
No. Other parents were outraged, it says here. Outraged parents blast the mother who hosted the Build-A-Bear birthday party. One upset parent on Reddit shared the story about the birthday party for her daughter's friend. The mother hosted the party at Build-A-Bear. All eight guests made stuffed animals, but after they left, the host mother demanded that each of the children give the toy that they had made to her daughter.
Why does any kid need eight teddy bears?
You don't.
And that's just rude.
When one boy resisted, the birthday girl ripped the toy from the boy's hands. The upset parent said that she even pitched in $30 for the bears before realizing that this was going to happen and said that her daughter was crying.
Was this girl's name Veruca Salt?
A Reddit user who goes by the name of NameNerd77 shared the story this week, recounting the unexpected twist to a six-year-old's Build-A-Bear making birthday party, which took place last Saturday. She said that after they left the store, the mother of the birthday girl insisted they all give the toys to her daughter. And it goes on to
list
the details.
I mean, when you first said it was a Build-A-Bear birthday party, at first I was like, oh my God, that's so over the top. That's so expensive already.
Right.
And that, it's crazy.
And now this.
That's unacceptable.
I'm looking to see if she Those also made kids. The kids give all their cake and ice cream to the kid, too.
Right. I'm sure they...
You all get cake and ice cream, but you have to give it to Debbie. What? I'm not giving my cake and ice cream to Debbie.
See, if you're having a party, you have to think about the goodie bags. And the goodie bags, as my kids got older, started becoming more involved and more expensive.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And it's really... Yeah. I don't think that you should have them anymore.
The birthday parties or the goodie bags?
The goodie bags. I mean, I don't get a goodie bag every party I go to.
As an adult.
When you like one.
Well,
though.
Yeah.
But, you know, the more I think about it, like, now that when I go to weddings or bar mitzvahs and stuff, there's always now things out to take on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite a goodie bag, but, you know, it's like...
It is kind of, though.
Cookies or donuts. Yeah, like...
Yeah.
You're so sweet to join us and, cookies in a bag. I mean, it was just kind of cute and fun.
Yeah.
But you do get more little take-home presents.
I'm trying to remember, because I remember when I was little, and you'd go... There were birthday parties, it seemed like, every week or every other week. There
it
was
sure
some kid having
like
a birthday party. But I don't remember that being part of the equation. But then at some point, everybody... It was like a memo went out, hey, from now on, if you're giving a birthday party for your kid, you have to give gifts to everybody just for showing up. But that wasn't always that way.
No, and it's certainly... I don't... Maybe you got like a little tiny bag with some like Hershey's Kisses or something.
Right.
Maybe when we were growing up, but then as our kids got older, these goodie bags got more involved, and you'd end up spending a ton of money on it.
I remember for one of my kids' goodie bags... We did a pool party, and I bought, you know, like sand buckets, sand buckets, and I put every kid, like, drew every kid's name on it with, like, design and filled it with stuff. I mean, you know.
With sunblock.
That's when I had a lot of time on my
hands. And a bottle of chlorine.
It was fun putting those little things together, though.
I love doing that.
Did your school do this? Wendy and I have discussed this in the past. At my school, if it was your birthday... You had to bring to school enough treats for every kid. You would go, you know, desk by desk by desk and give them a pack of sweet tarts or something like that.
You can't do that anymore because of allergies.
Too many allergies.
And, well, and then when my kids were older, you could bring in cupcakes, and then you could also, if you wanted to, it was optional, you could donate a book to the library in their honor. And it said, you know, this book was donated in honor of...
Yeah.
Seth's birthday.
Oh, I guess that's nice.
I have to tell you, our elementary school, I don't think it went up to junior high, but I know K through six. On your birthday, they didn't allow treats anymore. You couldn't bring it at all for kids with allergies.
Right.
But you get your name on the announcements, and then you'd get called to the office or to the library, and you'd get to pick out a book for your birthday. I loved that.
Oh, that's even
better.
They
had like a birthday shelving unit, I guess, and you could choose from various different things when it was your birthday, and it said, you know, from the school library. I thought that's a great way for a kid to celebrate.
Yeah,
it is. Did you guys have this when you were little, like places where you had parties, they had a birthday throne and you could sit in the birthday throne?
No.
And you got to unwrap your
Who's
presents.
Got that?
I did at this place. There was this place in Louisville called Dipper Dan. It was an
ice cream
place.
Yeah.
And they had a party room. And so if it was your birthday, you got to sit on the birthday throne and unwrap your presents.
Oh, that's excellent.
It was
Did
pretty
you
cool.
wear, was there some sort of a tiara
or
something?
Oh, you had a crown.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Some interesting texts about this Build-A-Bear party. I'm surprised, or that girl won't be invited to any other kids' parties.
No, she's banned.
Right.
I mean, talk about bullying.
But can I say something? What if? Here's a what if.
Yes.
What if that mom said, you know, I'd like every kid to have one of these, but it's gotten kind of pricey. Is there any way... You know, you could give $20 and then your kid could bring a bear home.
But don't you think those kids also, I'm sure they brought gifts for the birthday girl.
Right.
So then you go, wait a minute. So I'm
you
giving
know what?
A
if you
gift
can't afford
and-
it and the kids don't get the bears, don't do it there. I mean, just don't.
It's expensive.
It is fun making them, though. And then they thought, you know, well, at least the kids get to make them.
Yeah, but if you were a six-year-old kid and you went through all the trouble of picking out all the accessories and you go, wait a minute, now I have to give this away to a kid, another
kid? Or if the woman had said, you know, if the mom had said, well, we're going to build these bears and then we're going
to donate them to charity.
Yeah, and then we all learn a lesson from that.
Right.
Okay, good. But the fact that this kid's taking them all home.
Right. No, but so you say you're going to donate them to charity.
Is the girl's name Charity?
No, but that would be perfect. Right. But I mean, I mean, first of all, you should donate them to charity. But if you're going to keep them all for your kid, at least give the illusion that, you know, we're doing a good thing. We're going to learn something. Because, I mean, I'm surprised there wasn't a riot.
I know.
There were a lot of crying kids falling on the floor. Oh, I guarantee that.
And how old were they?
Six.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's right in the heart of being very sensitive about something like this.
I love stories like this because I feel like a way better mom. I really do.
I know. It is.
You know how my theory is, anytime you have an idea, you should always run that idea past somebody that you trust.
Right.
Did the mom say to another friend or a husband or something, hey, we're going to do it at Build-A-Bear.
Probably the husband.
Right.
I'm not paying for all that.
Make sure those kids give her all the bears if we're doing this.
I bet that is what happens. Wow.
All right. Now, speaking of birthdays, now that we live in such a political correct time, did you guys have the birthday spanking machine when you were a kid in your school? That could never happen today.
Well, that was on the playground. It wasn't like sanctioned in
students,
the classroom.
Like your fellow students spanked you?
The teacher would say, and now it's time for your birthday spankings.
Oh.
And then the kids would line up and they would just swat you on the back
end.
Yeah,
I guess we did do that in class.
I kind of do remember that. Some hurt, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was always that jerk that really, like...
It'd wind up.
Yeah, it was a wallop.
Yeah.
What's Hot, What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Men. I'm sure they're proud to sponsor that. They should sponsor a spanking machine.
There we go.
Like, honestly, that was so... Nobody suspected anything crazy back then. It was part of your birthday treat. You got a birthday spanking machine. But now if a kid came home and mentioned that, there'd be lawsuits. The school would close down.
We also made birthday potions at birthday parties. We would
take
drinks and put in, like... pizza and cake and anything in the drink, and then you made the birthday girl drink it.
Well, how is it worth having a birthday then if you have to drink that crap?
The moms used to get so mad.
Of course.
You're wasting food.
Somebody has texted, 630 said, years ago when I had a party at Build-A-Bear for my son, the party price included a basic bear for each kid, and if they wanted to upgrade, then it was up to their parents to pay for it. I think that's super fair.
Absolutely.
But it's fair because the kid walks away with the bear at the end.
Right, they still have
a bear.
Right.
You know, again, but it might be a crappy bear.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but a six-year-old doesn't know the difference.
And they're smart enough to know that, yes, give them the basic bear, but their money is in those upgrades. So what kid is going to be at Build-A-Bear with all those options and just go, yeah, just a plain bear is really
all I
need.
But if you're sending your kid, you're not going to be there to upgrade. You know, the kid's going to the party.
Yeah.
A lot of times...
Well, maybe they asked ahead of time.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Or when you walked your kid in, they said, we're going to upgrade. You know, you have the opportunity to do a little more if you want.
Right.
My kid,
for you guys. For the cheap party? Party of six? The cheap party?
My kid wants a surprise doll party at a trampoline park. 20 kids for 2 hours, over $500.
Oh, wow.
I say no party there.
Wendy, we've mentioned this before, that we share the same text line with Steve Bertrand in the Wintrust Business Lunch. Do you think he's getting these same Build-A-Bear questions and comments as we are today? I don't know that
he is. I hope so.
I hope he is.
He's looking at the business aspect of Build-A-Bear.
That's a great idea, man. It is fun making those things.
It is fun, except it is so expensive.
Yeah.
I liked my Vermont teddy bear. Remember the Vermont teddy bear? They were just...
Are they still around?
I got to look into that. Like...
They were huge for a while.
And just really cute.
Yeah, well made.
I have a biker bear that has like a little black jacket and a bandana.
Cute. Oh.
And then the kids, I got one that has a Little League uniform that says Mac and Ernie on the back.
Oh.
That was a precursor to the Build-A-Bear.
Yes.
And these you couldn't. What was it? Vermont Teddy Bear?
Vermont Teddy Bear.
They advertised
it
at the Loop
a lot. If you look at American Girl doll, you can kind of buy your doll.
That's a fortune.
That's a fortune. Imagine what a birthday party is there.
I know.
Yeah, they're Beargram. They're still in business.
They are still around?
I'm going to have a salesperson reach out to them because I love these things. They're so cute. Oh, my God. They have Easter bunnies that are adorable.
Yeah.
Limited edition ones. Next year, people. They are the cutest bears I've ever seen in my life.
A future sponsor.
Are they a little smaller than the Build-A-Bears?
Yes.
I feel like.
Yeah. Although they had, if I remember right from the ads, there was a deluxe size that was slightly better.
All right, we got a break. Kim, you got to come look at these Vermont teddy bears.
Kim, thanks for hanging out and for looking at teddy bears with us.
But you have to give it back.
Yes, you must give it back. I don't know. Nobody knows. All right, more after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, look who's just come into the studio to share their life with us. It's John Williams.
To share what?
To share their life with us.
What was that pause and laugh about? What was the cat?
I don't get the laugh.
I thought he said to share their love with us.
No,
I was like,
his life. But if love is part of your life, then yes.
Well, I love you both. I love the show.
We love you, John.
Love you right back.
It's a beautiful thing that you do here at WGNRadio.com.
Yes.
So on the show today, we're going to visit with Thomas Jefferson. Haven't talked to him in a while. We're going to talk to a guy who was on the beaches of Normandy on D-Day 1. Imagine that. He's got to be 90-some years old now. The 75th anniversary is coming up. And through a friend of a friend, I hear he tells amazing stories about that day. We said, come on in, talk to us on the stream when we have a little more time. And then we can use some of this in June or maybe on my show later in the week.
Yeah.
But I just kind of like the comfort of having a little more time and less pressure here at WGNRadio.com. And also, we're going to play back some of the comments from Kim Fox when she was on our show. Remember Once Upon a Time?
I heard that, yeah.
Well, that was an interview. So now she's saying that she did not in any way... Well, she was saying then she did not in any way direct the prosecution or the... decision not to prosecute.
She took herself out of it.
She recused herself. Okay, but now they have all of these text messages with her and her staff.
Yeah.
And those would lead you to maybe a different conclusion.
Oh, interesting.
So I've looked at all of those text messages today.
Yes.
It was 89,000 of them. And I don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to be, but there are some that are particularly confounding.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So we're going to talk about that.
Excellent.
I'll be listening.
That's a lot of stuff, John.